I just wanted to tell you that I blew these notes up here so George would be able to follow me when I bounce around. But anyway, I appreciate David. Appreciate the good song service this morning, and I know all of us surely must be encouraged as a result of being able to be here this morning. It is a great morning, and as I said, I hope that all of you have registered. If you're a member, we hope you'll do that, and if you're a visitor, we certainly hope you'll do that. Please take note of the pencils that you use to register on, though. We made a mistake not too long ago, kind of like a little church I heard about in the suburbs of Dallas, and they had a regular office supply dealer who provided those for them. And anyway, the preacher actually had to call him up and tell him that they were not going to order those pencils from them anymore. And anyway, the proprietor said, "Well, why will you not order them from us anymore?" And he said, "Our church ordered some pencils from you to be placed in the pews, but, we wanted the visitors to register all right." He said, "Well, why aren't you going to order them from us anymore? Didn't you receive the last ones that we sent to you?" And he said, "Oh, yes, we received them all right. But what you did is you sent us some golf pencils instead. And they were stamped with the words, 'Play golf next Sunday.'" So anyway, we've had to make a few adjustments. But if you're here for the first time, we hope that our worship service this morning will be conducive to your spirituality and you'll want to come again. We've had a lot of people visit our church through the years. Actually, we had an old cowboy visit our services not too long ago. As a matter of fact, his name was Cowboy Joe. And he was actually talking to some others about his experience at visiting our church. He said, when I got there, they had me park my old truck in the corral. And he said, one of the deacons told me, he says, "No," he said, "it's not the corral." He said, "You mean the parking lot." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he said, I walked up the trail to the door. And he said, the deacon told me, "No, it wasn't a trail." He said, "That was the sidewalk that you were walking on." And he said, "Oh." And he said, inside the door, he said, "I met this dude." And the usher, the deacon said, "No, don't call him a dude." He said, "That was an usher." And he says, "Well, okay." And anyway, he said, the usher led me down the chute. And he said, "The chute?" He said, "No, you don't mean the chute." He said, "You mean the aisle." He said, "Well, okay, the aisle." And said, "But then he led me to a stall." And he said, "No," he said, "it's not the stall." He said, "That's the pew." And then he said, "Yeah," he said, "that's what that pretty lady said to me when I sat down beside her, pew." Well, we hope you'll not experience that this morning, but that your experience will be one that you will remember with great fondness. It is for us. We're glad you're here. This morning, we want to talk to you a little bit about a man of God that we read about in the Old Testament. And the theme at the RV rally this week has been making the right choice. And I want to talk to you this morning about making the right choice as well. If you were here for our Bible class in the auditorium, you would have heard a tremendous lesson presented by Brother Ray Franks on choices and sacrifices that built a nation and how thankful we are. You and I are confronted with choices every day. Some more important than others, some major, some minor. But I can tell you one of the most monumental and major choices you will ever make will be made this coming November the 6th, a week from this Tuesday. For you will have an opportunity to have your voice heard in the political arena. You will be able to make a decision about the man that you want to serve as the president of the United States of America. And we hope and trust and pray that we can restore dignity and honor and integrity to our nation once again. And so I hope and trust that all of you will be praying about it and that you will be making that right choice. Joshua in the Old Testament made the right choice. He was a man who constantly was confronted with choices. In the book of Joshua 24 and verse 15, we read these words. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, you and I are challenged every day, not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament as well. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's why it's so important for us to be concerned about the choices that we make in life. The devil would have us make the wrong choice. But I'm convinced that God wants us to make the right choice, and the way that we go about making the right choice is predicating our choice upon the will of Almighty God. Let me tell you a little bit about this man of God named Joshua. You know, so much credit is given in the Old Testament to Moses, and Moses certainly was a great leader. But the time came when Moses died, and God said, my servant Moses is dead. But it was Joshua, the great general in the Israelite army, that took up the reign. He picked up the torch, if you will, and began to carry and lead the people of God into that land that flowed with milk and honey. It was Moses who led them through the wilderness and out of Egyptian bondage, but it was Joshua who led them into the land of promise that God had foreordained. But it was because of this Joshua that they entered that land. Joshua was a man who was concerned. You know, we have a lot of people today that are not really concerned about choice. They're not really concerned about anything at all. They just accept life, and their philosophy is que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And we never really focus upon the concerns of our nation. We never focus on the concerns of our family. We never focus on the concerns of the church. We never focus on the concerns of the hereafter or the judgment that is to come. Joshua was a man of deep concern. God did not choose Joshua by mistake. God chose Joshua because he knew that Joshua would choose him. And he challenged all of Israel that day to choose you who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to notice that he made the choice not only for himself, but he made the choice for his family as well. You know what we need in America today? And you know what we need in the church? Are men who will stand up and make choices that will affect their family. We need men in the church today who will stand up and lead their house in the way of Almighty God. I can't think of anything more devastating than for a man to stand before God in that judgment hour, having not influenced his family to walk in the ways of Jehovah. Joshua was a man who was concerned. But let me share with you another thing about this man. This Joshua was also a man who had great courage. He did. He was concerned, but he had great courage, number two. When I think of Joshua, I think about his courage. In the book of Numbers 13, verse 32 through 33, the Bible says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies in a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. He says they were as giants, and the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, so we were in their sight. In Numbers 14, verse 6 through 9, the Bible says, however, that Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now notice what the very next verse says here. If the Lord delight in us, Then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. I want you to know that God's promises are always conditional. God made many, many promises to Israel, and he makes many, many promises to you and to me today. But many of those great promises are conditional. If we walk in the ways of God, he will bless us. I can tell you, and that's exactly what Joshua was saying here, that if God delights in us, now let me ask you something this morning. How do we know whether God delights in us or not? We can know that God delights in us if we keep his word. And if we love him with all of our heart, John chapter 14. We know that we must love him and God will lead us. Notice what it says. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. He says, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. And he says, fear them not. You see, Joshua was a man of great courage and valor. Not only was he a man that was concerned, but he was a man who was of great character as well. Number three. You know, when I think of Joshua, I'm reminded of his great character. You know, we have some characters in the world. That's not the kind of character that I'm talking about. But when I see Joshua there, he was a man of integrity. Here was a man who really did have character in his life. You know what we need again in America today are people with character. People who have character about them. And I'm telling you, Joshua was one of them. He had character to stand alone. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, I'd stand up and do what's right, but I'm afraid somebody else might not stand with me. You know what? Joshua didn't take that philosophy. Joshua was a man who was convicted in his heart that he would stand up and he would do what was right. He was like the Apostle Paul, you remember, when he said one time, writing to the young minister Timothy, he said, there was that time when I stood in the face of God and I stood before men and councils and no man stood with me. If you don't believe that Joshua was a man of character, listen again to the words of Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. He was determined to serve God. Let me tell you, that is a trait of a godly man. And Joshua was a godly man. In the book of Joshua 5, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says it came to pass that Joshua, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there was a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. Get the picture. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, he said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off of thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Does that sound familiar? When Moses got into the presence of God and he saw that burning bush, you remember that God said to take off your shoes, for the ground upon which you stand is holy ground. And Joshua did the same thing. Sometimes we fail to remember that when we come into the house of worship, you and I are on holy ground. Even now, we are. Joshua was a man of character, but he was also a man who was committed to influencing other people. You know, when you look at Joshua's life, you have to understand that. Let me ask you a question this morning. How involved and how committed are you to influencing other people? I've known many, many people, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, who say sometimes about their relationship with God, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm just not going to talk to other people about the Lord. I'm going to let them make up their own mind. Well, that doesn't sound like something Jesus would say. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, he said that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the apostles in the New Testament age did that very thing. Factually speaking, the Bible says that they preached the gospel to the whole known world, according to the book of Colossians, because they were committed to influencing other people. Now, let me ask you a question. When the Bible says, and it does say in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want you to notice that. I highlighted that because it really is important. I said that Joshua influenced his family, and he did, but Joshua was committed to doing that. Joshua didn't say, "Well, you know, I was made to serve God when I was young, and I'm not going to make my kids serve God." Or, "I was made to go to church when I was younger, and I'm not going to make my children go to church." Have you ever heard people say such silly things as that? How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous is it? How many of you were made to go to school, public school? Well, the rest of you probably don't have a whole lot of smarts. I was made to go to public school, and my dad never got up and told me, "Son," he said, "you know what, I had to go to public school when I was young, but I'm not going to make you go to public school." He didn't say, "I'm going to let you be a blooming idiot." There was never a question about it. I got up every morning after he drug me out of bed. You know, it's amazing how we reason, isn't it? It is. Joshua influenced his children to serve God. He did, because he was the right kind of father leader. Now, that's not to say that even when you lead your children in the right way, they're always going to do the right thing, because many, many times they don't. We can read of examples of that in the New Testament as well. But chances are, when we lead our children in the way of Jehovah God, well, let me just read a couple of passages for you that help illustrate what I'm saying. In the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the Bible says that the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. A good father is determined to use his influence for the good and training of his children. It is so important. When we do not train and teach our children, what can we expect? Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says that we are to train up a child in the way he should go, and then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not only was Joshua concerned, not only was he courageous, not only was he a man of character or a man who was committed to influencing others, he was a man who had great confidence. You know what we need today in the world are people with confidence. And that confidence does not rest in who we are. That confidence does not abide in us because it is us. But my confidence is in God, and my confidence is in what he says. And in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Who can be against the people of God? If God takes delight in us and we're doing the right thing, I can tell you, if we have confidence, God will lead us and he will protect us. Notice what Joshua says in Joshua 24 and verse 15 again. He says, "We will serve the Lord." He didn't say we might do it. He said, "We'll give this some thought." He didn't say, "Well, let's go home and think about it." But Joshua said, "We emphatically, folks, we will serve the Lord." How long has it been since you as fathers in your family said to your children, "We will serve the Lord"? The Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 offers these words, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." In the book of Acts chapter 20, in verse 28 and following, when Paul had met with the elders from Ephesus down at Miletus, he gave them a charge concerning the church of the living God, to be people with confidence, to stand up, even when it's politically incorrect. You stand up for what is right. You will never be disappointed, folks. Let me tell you something. I learned that a long time ago. I learned also that it makes a lot of enemies. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. I don't want God to be my enemy. In the book of Acts 20, verse 28, Luke records these words. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, that grievous wolves, he says, will enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember. Listen to Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch for your souls, as those who will give an account. And let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 4, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, then you shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away, he said, eternal in the heavens. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, the Bible says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors or elders, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not only was this man confident, let me tell you why all of this was true about Joshua. First of all, because he had a heart that was right with God. You will never be courageous. You will never be confident. You will never be a man of character. You will never be a person of courage until you get your heart right with God. In the book of Romans chapter 6, Paul says, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. Ezra 7 and verse 10 says, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Notice this, not only to seek it, but to do it and to teach Israel the statutes and judgments of the Almighty. He had a heart that was right with God. Secondly, he had a love for God's truth. You know what? I'm afraid today that the love for the Word of God is not as strong as it ought to be and as strong as it once was. But in Psalms 119, verse 10 and 11, David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, O God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Yes, Joshua had a heart that was right with God. He had a love for the Word of God. And he understood that he could not be some kind of counterfeit follower of God. But he had to be genuine through and through. And so he set the right example. And 1 Timothy 4 and 12, the Bible says, let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, what you say, in conversation, your manner of life, that's what it really is talking about, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then Joshua was a man who understood the importance to encourage others. He said in Joshua 10 and verse 25, the Bible says that Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord shall do to all of your enemies that are against you. God cares for us, folks. Joshua understood it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says to cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. You see, the real puzzle today, you know what the real puzzle is today? The real puzzle is that many people live with fear and do not have Jesus at the center of their heart. And when you do not put Jesus at the center of your heart, he will not take a left seat nor a right seat. but he wants to be at the very center of your heart. We must open our heart unto Jesus. And the real question this morning is, are you willing to open your heart like Joshua did? Open your heart unto Jesus Christ and let him come in by believing and obeying his gospel. You see, our godliness is seen in our obedience to Christ in baptism. For Mark 16, verse 15 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Jesus is waiting for our response. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And whosoever will, let him take of the fountain of the water of life freely. You know what happens in your future, in reality, is a decision that you will make. Now, I know that there are things sometimes in life that happen to us that we don't always understand, and maybe we don't have control over. But I'm going to tell you, you have control over your eternal destiny, and Joshua understood that. He did. That's why he said, we're going to serve the Lord. And it is something that every one of us ought to say. There was an old man one time who lived in the community, and he was noted for his tremendous wisdom. Maybe you've seen people like that, or known them. Well, over the years, hundreds of people came to him for advice, and he had helped them immensely. There was also a young man in the community who was very jealous and, in reality, had as a secret dream the desire of trapping this man to show that he was not wise at all. One day he devised a plan. He went to the old man and said, old man, he said, I have a baby bird in my hand. He said, tell me, as he held it behind his back, is it dead or is it alive? The wise old man knew that if he answered, it is dead, then he would present it alive. Or if he answered that it was alive, then he would squeeze it dead. And the old man said, the answer to your question is in your hands. You have the power to present the bird either dead or alive, and it must be your decision. Now, you know, we can preach all day long about the need for your acceptance of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. It doesn't weigh on me. You see, the decision is in your hand. You've heard the message of Christ this morning. You've heard what Joshua did and how he became that godly man. You've heard about what it takes to have a heart that's right with God and why it's so important to have a love for truth. But what you do with that truth and what you do with Jesus Christ is in your hands. And God calls upon you to make that decision. I hope we would not be like those in the Old Testament whom the Bible says, how long will you halt between decisions? But I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, out of a great love and respect for God, and one who's concerned, I hope this morning you're concerned like Joshua was for your nation, for your church, for your family, and for the eternal destiny of your soul. Because I'm telling you, they all are at stake, and they rest upon the choice that you make. I hope this morning that you make the right choice by coming to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, by coming to renounce the sin that is in your life, and through an obedient heart, yielding your body to be buried with Christ in baptism, to be raised out of that water to walk in newness of life. It's what God wants to give to all of us. And someday we'll be able to go to heaven and be together with the redeemed of the ages. I can't think of anything more wonderful. And I hope this morning, if you're a Christian, you've strayed from God, and you've made mistakes in your life, you've made some bad choices. Wouldn't it be a good time this morning to rectify that and to change it and say, God, please forgive me. Help me to do better. And rise from where you've fallen and realize that with the power and the strength of Almighty God, that you too, as Paul says, can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Let us stand and let us sing.